All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 4. We're going to get there in a few minutes. Exodus chapter 4. Gio, could you come hold this mic for me for a second? Because we're going to learn some sign language. We're going to begin with some sign language. Are y'all ready? And if you know sign language and I butchered it, just act like I did it perfectly, okay? All right? Are you ready? All right. Okay. So you got to hold this so I can show it. So everybody stand up. I know we're passing around the plate, but everybody stand up. We're going to teach you some sign language. You ready? All right. Don't put that up there, Gail, yet. Okay, here. All right. You got to put it up here so I can talk. All right. Are y'all ready? Put out your hands like this. All right. Do like this. All right. Do like this. Do like this. Do it like this. Okay. Good job. Good job. Y'all ready to do it one more time? All right. Okay. You ready? Right there. Right there. All right. And like act like you're asking a question. So does anybody, thank you so much. Does anybody know what I said? You know nobody knows what I said. Now you can put it up there. You can put the first screen up there, Gail. Put the first screen up there, the title. What's in your hand? That's what I said. So now look at your palms real quick. Before we sit down, and look at your palms. Now, I want you to notice in this screen, this shot, those hands are pretty dirty. I'm going to talk about that towards the end of the message of why they're dirty. And I want you to look at yourself, look at your hands, and I want you to say, what's in my hand? Go ahead and say that. Say, what's in my hand? All right, you can sit down. What's in my hand? I learned that sign language from Elizabeth, a messenger all the way to Belize, and I said, teach me how to say that this morning so I could teach you this morning. So let me recapture our give you some intro of Exodus chapter 4. You know the story. Moses is born in Egypt of a Hebrew mom. The Pharaoh is trying to annihilate all the Hebrew children, so she saves his life by floating him down the Nile River, where he gets the name Moses, and he is raised by Pharaoh's daughter, who he is well educated. He grows up a very privileged person. He ends up killing an Egyptian trying to protect a Hebrew. He flees the Midian when he is 40 years old, and he lives for 40 years in the desert as a shepherd. Moses encounters God at the burning bush, and God speaks to him and says, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh, chapter 3, verse 10, to deliver God's people. Verse 11, Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I? Who am I, God? Moses, hear this, capture this for a second, imagine this. Moses is speaking to a burning bush that is not being consumed. Can I say that again? Moses is speaking to a burning bush that is not being consumed, and God is speaking through it, and yet Moses is saying, who am I? Who am I, God? He is having a pity party. I can't do it. I've been a shepherd in the desert for the last 40 years. I may have been raised privileged, but that was my old life. God, do you realize that I can't speak very well? Who am I, God? Have y'all ever said that to God? How often has God done the miraculous in our lives, in our jobs, in our families, and then God speaks to us to do something, and our response to God is, who am I? Who am I? Who me, God? Who me? I'm just Lee. I'm 5'6", God. You know, I weigh 148 pounds and I only weigh that much because I've gained 10 pounds since living in America. Can you believe that? I've gained weight. It's so frustrating to me. And you know, it's the cruise. It wasn't. It's just America. There's Chick-fil-A. There's about to be In-N-Out Burger. There's Whataburger. Can I go on? And you know, when we ask those questions to God, you know what Jesus says? Yes, you. I died for you. Better yet, I rose for you. Better yet, I invite you to become a child of the Most High God. God says, I have plans for you. I created you to be a part of my plan. Can you imagine that? God created you to be a part of his plan. Now to Exodus chapter 4, 1 through 3. I want to read this to you. It says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. That is very important, and I will address that towards the end of the message. Can we pray? Father God, would you speak to us today? Would you speak to us about what's in our hand, what we can use to serve you in deeper ways, to fulfill your plans in our lives, God. Father, would you speak that to every individual in this room this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. So first, let's talk about what's your purpose. Before we get into the text, what's your purpose? Very easy. The great commandment says to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Great Commission says to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is our mission and commandment from God. As a Go Church team, we make it even simpler. It's called Go and Love God. Everybody say love God. Love people. Reach people, disciple people. Great commandment, great commission, summed up right here. Love God, love people, reach people, disciple people. That is what God has called us to do. Now, the vehicle, the tools, and the skills by which God uses is very diverse in us because you are very diverse. There are things and places that you go and things that you can do that I simply just cannot do. Let me tell you, let me give you a few of the hints of what I can't do. Every Saturday morning, my father would wake me up by singing this song to you. Are you ready? Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope graze, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. And he sang it just like that, and I inherited his voice. I cannot sing. Now watch this. Let me give you another. Are y'all ready for this? This is amazing. Y'all are going to be blown away. Blown away. What's this? I can even do it with a mic in my hand. Are y'all ready? George. Thank you. Would you just give us about a 45-second solo? Just to listen. Now, go ahead and listen to this. Oh. Show off. I thought mine was pretty good. The fact of the matter is I have no musical skills, singing abilities. I cannot play an instrument. I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano. But why is that different? Because we are all called to fulfill the same mission, but we are very diverse. George works for a music store. He also has that he works on Saturdays at a music store. He also is, what are you, George? You are a occupational therapist. That's right. George is in the context with people that I will never see. He will be able to rub shoulders with people that play music and play the drums and play guitar and people that I will never see because we are so diverse. God has the same mission to love God, love people, reach people, and disciple people. But God has put George in a totally different environment as me purposely because we are diverse, because the people around us in this community are diverse. You have skills. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are nurses. You are very diverse lives, and God has put you there to love God in front of people, to love people, to reach people, to disciple people. We implement, we accomplish our purpose by what's in our hand. So the question is, what is in your hand? What do I have to give? Moses was a shepherd. Right here is his staff. Don, I think you gave me this staff many, many years ago. Shammy asked if it was taller than me. The answer is no. Oh, she said it was taller than her. Actually, I think, what did we determine? You're taller than it? Or it's taller than you? All right, who cares? Okay. Somebody cares. All right, thank you, Cynthia. Moses was a shepherd. He tended Jethro's sheep. He fled Egypt with the clothes on his back. Moses had nothing but a staff. God says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? What do you have at your disposal? What do you possess? And he said, I have a rod. I have a staff. Used to protect sheep, used to guide sheep, used as a walking cane, not a very expensive instrument or tool, but an extremely useful one when it comes to herding sheep. Bear in mind that God didn't ask Moses something that he didn't have. He said, what do you have in your hand? I'm sure Moses thought, this can't be used for you. But you know what this staff did? This staff conquered the enemies of Egypt. This staff, he lifted it up and it parted the Red Sea. All because of something simple used by a shepherd. And God infused it with his power to do mighty things for God. God didn't ask Moses what he didn't have. All of us could think of things we don't have. God, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough influence. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough this. God, my car's not working really good. I can't do this. We could all list all the things we don't have, but God didn't ask Moses what he didn't have. God asked Moses what he had in his hand. God is not asking you to do somebody else's job. God is not asking you to go to Baytown, Texas and proclaim the gospel in that area. If you live in West Houston, God is asking you to reach this community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given you everything at your disposal to fulfill his purpose. It may seem small. It may seem irrelevant. Matthew chapter 14, 13 through 20, the Bible tells a story of the loaves and the fishes. I'm sure that boy said, what does my 5 loaves and 2 fishes, how could that help at all? And yet God turned it to feed 5,000 people. I ask you this morning, what is in your hand? For Samson, it was a jawbone of a donkey that killed thousands. For David, it was a sling and just a very few stones that killed Goliath. For the woman with the alabaster jar of perfume to anoint Jesus' feet, God used Moses' staff to defeat the armies of Egypt. You may say this morning, but most of what I have in my hand is pain. It hurts. Let me tell you something. God will even use your pain. God will even use your hurts. He will heal those, and he will use it to impact others for Jesus. All of us have heard stories of people that had gone to war and had casualties. All of us have heard stories of adults that had terrible, miserable childhood, but God had brought them out and has healed them and uses their story to minister to so many people. You may be a stay-at-home mom and you say, you know, I don't really have a whole lot of influence outside of that, but maybe there's a whole lot of stay-at-home moms that you can minister to. What's in your hand? There's a woman by the name of, I believe I'm pronouncing it right, Gianna Jessen. There's her picture. I watched her video. You can find it on YouTube. Let me tell you about her life. She is a product of a failed abortion. Her mother was trying to abort her, but instead of dying, she survived. She survived with burns all over her body over the chemicals that were used to try to destroy her life. And today she travels around the world speaking about the beauty of life that she survived. Now, her life isn't easy. Because of the failed abortion, it has caused tremendous injuries in her body. She has several health problems, but she uses that pain to go around, and God has given her a platform to speak about the value of life in a way that I could never speak it. God is using her. I've talked about Nick Bochik. Did I say it right? I'm not even going to try again. If you said it right, I applaud you. Born with no hands and no legs, when he was in high school, he thought about ending his life. He said, I'm just going to be a burden to my parents, so why do I even need to live? How could God ever use me? And yet today, God uses him, literally travels around the world sharing the gospel. Hundreds of thousands of people have come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior because they see a man with no hands and no legs proclaim the gospel, and God uses his pain for God's glory. He said when God was speaking to him about doing things for God, he wrestled with God and God told him he didn't have a leg to stand on. Get it? Some of y'all will laugh later. You can laugh. He said it, not me. He makes cracks all about his lack of hands and lack of feet. God will even use your perceived handicap, your wounds, your pain, what's in your hand. We all possess things in our hand. It might be small. Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise the small beginnings, for the eyes of the Lord rejoice to see the work begin. What's in your hand? How do we touch the world around us? For my family, we have 5 children. We had 4 children, and God spoke to Robin and said, do you have room for one more? We believe with all our heart. How do we change the world? We change it one child at a time. And God said, you have room for one more. What do we have in our hand? We have room for one more. What's in your hand? All Moses had was a stick. To some of us, it could be money, it could be possessions, it could be influence, it could be talents, it could be abilities, it could be the place that God has placed you at your job. God has blessed you with things that you possess so that you can more effectively love God, love people, reach people, disciple people. You might think they're insignificant, but God doesn't. Jesus died for you, and according to Jeremiah 29:11, he has big plans for you. Turn to your neighbor and look at him kind of with a question in your eyes and say, what's in your hand? Now do it one more time with a sense of a real question. What is in your hand? Good. So we've discussed our purpose to love God, love people. We've discussed what's in our hand. What has God given me and you to fulfill his purpose in our lives? And number 3, what is God looking for? What is God looking for? God has a habit of using insignificant things in his kingdom. Amen. Let me read you 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. I'm going to first read it out of today's Living Bible, and then I'm going to read it out of the New King James. It says, "Notice among yourselves, dear brothers, that few of you who follow Christ have big names or power or wealth. Instead, God has deliberately chosen to use ideas the world considers foolish and of little worth in order to shame those people considered by the world as wise and great." The New King James Version puts it this way: "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." God used a tiny village called Bethlehem to birth forth our Messiah. He could have chosen major cities around the world. He chose Bethlehem. He chose a feed trough to put the Messiah in. God chooses what at times seems insignificant to birth forth his purpose. He uses foolish things. Here's the key: when God takes your perceived insignificance, your foolish things, perhaps your feelings of inadequacy, and he takes it into his hands and he infuses his power. For Moses, it was a stick. It was dead. And God said, "Lay it on the ground." And he made it alive. What was dead became alive. God wants to take what we see as insignificant and turn it around with his power. He wants to take the insignificant things and make them effective things, the powerless things to become more powerful. In John chapter 21, when the disciples had been fishing all night, they hadn't caught a thing. Not a thing. They see Jesus, and Jesus says, "Cast the net on the other side." Nothing was different here. The same water, the same lake, the same time, the same nets, the same men. Nothing different, but they threw their nets again, and they caught so many fish they couldn't even drag them in. What was different? There was only one thing different. It was Jesus. God took what they had, infused with his power, and did something miraculous. God took Moses, his staff, infused with his power, and he conquered the Egyptians. God wants to take what's in your hand, what you may feel is insignificant. God would never use this. He wants to infuse it with his power. He wants to anoint it and supersize it and multiply it. God specializes in insignificant things. This morning, this is not part of my message, but this morning I read something on Facebook that drew my curiosity, so I Googled it. I believe his last name was Roberts. Maybe his first name was Robert. He was the initiator, many people believe, of the Welsh Revival of 1904. 100,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus in less than a year in the southern part of England. 100,000 people. And those people just didn't get saved and raise their hand and never come back. The church buildings were packed for decades to come as a result of that revival. The supernatural God, the super manifestations of God happened in that revival because of one man, get this, who was 26 years old. And he went to Bible college, so he must have been good, but that Bible college was 3 months long. God used him to birth forth a revival that transformed an entire region and sent missionaries around the world for the gospel. God has a habit of using insignificant things for his glory. Here's some things that are in our hand as a church. A couple of these I've already mentioned, but they're important to mention again. Next Sunday, Courtney and Timmy will be here. We will have a morning of worship. Morning of seeking God. Very strategic time, because October, we're coming into a very outreach-focused month for us as a church, where we really want to reach out to the unchurched people around us. We want God to use what's in our hand, infused with his power. And that is best done in the context of his presence. Next Sunday, we will gather here just for a morning of worshiping and seeking his presence. October 9th, which is a Wednesday night, we will gather with two other churches and we will worship together and seek the Lord together. Why? Because we want to take what's in our hand and we want to infuse it with his power, because we want God to do something unique and special within us and through us. And then on October 13th, which is BOG Sunday, Be Our Guest Sunday, I'm asking every single one of them in this room to invite somebody. In just a moment, I'm going to pass out these tokens for you, and I want you to give them to everybody. Give them to your gas person you pay for your gas, you know, at your restaurant. Wherever you go, you can pass them out. But I want you to go beyond that. I want you to pray about one family that you want to bring on that Sunday. You know, I passed two of them out yesterday. Now, will those people go? I don't know. They may. You know, we went and got snow cones yesterday right before we mowed our lawn, and on the picnic table was one of my tokens that I'd left there like 2 weeks earlier, you know. I don't know, somebody, God may use that to bring somebody, but I want you to focus on one family. Maybe your next door neighbor, maybe somebody you work with, maybe someone in the community that would actually come to go church that's unchurched. And I want you to go beyond the call of duty and bring them. Whatever it takes, provide lunch afterwards, go and pick them up. Whatever it takes to bring him there. Our largest Sunday we've ever had as a church is 211 people. I believe we could have 225 people there here that day. If everybody did brought one person, we run about 130. Normally we'd have 260 people here on that Sunday, October 13th. Unchurched people hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission, right? To love God, love people, reach people, and disciple people. One family. One family. Guys, this is huge for us. October 13th is huge for us. Who will you bring? Who will I bring? October 13th is a big Sunday. Could our ushers come up here? I have probably not 1,000 anymore because I've passed some out, but I have lots of tokens right here. And if you would take them, you can take 10 of them. If we have leftovers, you can take more than that. Just don't stick them on your dresser and do nothing with them. These are tokens. All right, here's another box. Yeah. Yeah, y'all can just, now they're here, and I've passed these out quite a bit over the last month. Everywhere I go, I keep like 10 of them in my pocket at once, and so many people have said, this is a great idea. You know what's a great idea? Because if it was a piece of paper, they would throw it away. But I don't know what it has to do with being plastic that makes it a little bit more important, but they're going to keep it. They just think it's a novelty or something, and so they're going to keep it. And so if you give it to them, they may not come to go church tomorrow, but they're going to put it on their dresser. BOG, Be Our Guest Sunday. They're going to ask you, what does BOG stand for? October 13th is Be Our Guest Sunday. Take about 10 of them. I've ordered some more, so if we run out today, we'll get more. I gave it to one guy, and he said, hey, I'm going to my friends to play poker tonight. I wonder if this will do anything. So, hey, just told me he's going to keep it. He's not going to throw it away. So that was a good thing, sort of. Yeah, yeah. But he would have given it to somebody else, and they're going to come. So there you go. I got mine right here. If you give them away, hopefully by next week I'll have some more. We got like 4 weeks. You're going to hear a whole lot about BOG Sunday before the end of 4 weeks. You're going to get text messages. You're going to get emails from me. You're going to see it on Facebook. This is a big Sunday. All right, everybody listen. Everybody listen. Everybody say, this is huge. Say huge. B-O-G is big. B-I-G. Big. I can spell. Don't read my Facebook because I can't spell on there. But this is big, guys. This is huge for us as a church. This is one of the largest outreach we will do as a church. I will preach a gospel message for people to come either back to the Lord or to the Lord for the first time. Please be praying with me about that, about BOG Sunday. Now, the following Sunday is Family Fun Day. We call it FFD. I don't know why we initialize everything. But Family Fun Day is October 20th. Last year, we had it at John Paul Park, and there was nobody at John Paul Park. In fact, we could have chosen any of the gazebos at John Paul Park because nobody knew about it. I went this week to reserve it, and it is booked solid. But that's okay because not only that, we would have had to rent two gazebos, and the gazebos are like 200 yards apart, and that wouldn't have been very good to try to have church 200 yards apart, 100 here and 100 there. But so what we are planning on doing is going to Faith West. Everybody knows where Faith West is. If you don't, ask somebody. It is right down the road. They have a huge pavilion on the back side of the Hidden Lake. I bet you didn't know there was a lake back there. There is a lake. We've gone swimming there. There's a lake. They have fish there. Yes, they do. Can you fish in it? I'm not sure, but I'll find out for you. Anyway, because I knew that's what you were thinking. Anyway, Family Fun Day, we're going to provide probably the chicken, the barbecue for you, and we'll have you sign up to bring all kinds of sides. And if you last year we had it, we just had a marvelous time together. I don't remember the time of the what month we did it. Do you remember? Was it October? It was October. And so we're going to do it again. Pray that it's not cold, windy like it was last year. We're just going to have a great time. But this is why this is strategically important. BOG Sunday, 200 plus people come Sunday morning right here. The following Sunday, we make sure those families, they had a great time with us. Hey, I think I'll come back. Hey, don't only think you'll come back, won't you come back next Sunday? We'll be at Faith West. We'll have just a great time together. And what happens during that time? We're connecting them to relationships, 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 friends, friends, friends. And they come back a second week in the row for us to build relationships with them. So you're going to hear a lot about BOG Sunday and Family Fun Day. What do we have in our hand as a church? We have these two huge events coming up, BOG Sunday, with the two prayer and worship events before that, and Family Fun Day. Big things for us. You're going to hear a lot about those coming up. What do we do it for? We do it so we can express our love for God, love people, reach people, and disciple people. Would you stand with me this morning? What's your purpose? Your purpose is to love God. Your purpose is to love people. Your purpose is to reach people. And your purpose is to disciple people. What's in your hand? Your hand has perhaps money, possessions, influence, talents, skills, and abilities, and they're very diverse from mine. Because that is God. God has given you gifts and talents that I don't possess for you to reach people for Jesus. We all know unchurched people. I've lived in my neighborhood a year, and I know lots of unchurched people in my neighborhood. I meet people every day that are unchurched. Some of them were wounded by the church. Some of them have just gotten busy and lost interest. Some of them are hurting and just isolated themselves. Some may have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our job. There's an expression in the Navy. It says, all hands on deck. It means everybody get up top. Not half of y'all sleep, everybody get on top. It means all of us should participate. All hands on deck. It means all of Go Church participate. You see, the hands are dirty. Typically, dirty hands means they got their hands dirty. They were out there working. We want you to get your hands dirty. We want you to go beyond the normal to bring someone who was unchurched on October 13th on BOG Sunday and then on Family Fun Day the week after. Because that is our mission. Let's get our hands dirty. What is God looking for? God has a habit of specializing in insignificant things. Foolish things that demonstrate His power. I ask you this morning, what is in your hand? Would our leaders just begin to make their way up? Maybe there's somebody that's on your heart right now. Maybe it's your next door neighbor. And you just said, God, I just need the wisdom. Maybe it's a relationship, a relative. And you said, God, I need the wisdom, how to have the right time to bring this up. And God, I just need you to show me what that looks like. Maybe you've been praying for a friend of yours to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, maybe for 10 or 20 years. And you're just praying, God, may this be the year that they come to Jesus. If you're praying for somebody, if you desire to join us in prayer, would you just make your way up? Perhaps God's been speaking to you about using a talent or a gifting that you have for His kingdom, but you've just been reluctant. And today you're saying, God, I know you're speaking to me. Would you come? If you're hurting this morning, if you're away from God this morning, man, we'd love to pray for you this morning. If you need to come, would you come?